Hello and welcome to Baseball America's Draft Podcast. I'm Carlos Collazo, joined by Peter Flaherty. Peter, we are 10 days away from draft day. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent. It's kind of crunch time. We're getting down to the stretch a little bit, both in updating reports, what we're hearing, really in all aspects. So it's another very fun time of the year, and I'm kind of just ready for it to be here. I'm sure you are as well, especially, yeah. But I'm very excited. I had a great draft chat yesterday. We've got our staff draft later on today, or yesterday we had it when you're now listening to this. So a lot of fun stuff happening.
Yeah, very busy time. I feel like at this point, especially for people who have listened to the podcast, I feel like we've like exhausted the conversations about this class. We've been talking about it for like a full-on year at this point, and it's also reached the part of the calendar where you're getting a lot of requests to do radio hits and different interviews on podcasts. And like for me, it feels like I'm just saying the same thing over and over again about players. I'm like, man, I probably should have something different to say, but at the same time, not everyone has been following the draft as obsessively as we have been. So just reminding myself that everyone's coming to this at a different place is useful, but not you guys listening to the BA Draft Pod. Y'all are experts on the draft. You're going to know all these players on Sunday, I guess two Sundays from now when we actually get rolling. But yeah, we're in the process of putting the finishing touches on the BA 500. That's taking a bulk of my time right now, just making sure you guys will have finalized reports, finalized tool grades, finalized BA grades. So when these players are taken, you can get a really complete picture of what your team is getting. Today, we're going to talk through a few different topics. Shout out to Mark Chiarelli for giving us a handful of interesting ideas to talk through today. But one of the things he was curious about was, as we have updated top 100 prospects, and I think I've expanded a little beyond top 100 prospects for my list, but players you've found yourself liking more down the stretch as we've kind of had some time to really go over these players with the totality of their season in the tank, as you were just like doing the final report writing, like players you find yourself liking more or players that you find yourself a little bit more skeptical of. I've got a handful in both categories, but I'm curious if there's anyone who stands out for you, Peter.
Yeah, so full disclosure for the, just sticking to the guys I wrote, at least initially, like I wrote Kate Anderson. I like Kate Anderson. I wrote up Vahevo Loy. I like Vahevo Loy. I wrote up Devin Taylor. I like Devin Taylor, one of the best hit power combos in the class. So instead of going the obvious route, at least to start, I guess I'll sort of start in reverse order and go with, like, I guess sort of a lesser known name, more of a dark horse, but Jack Gurevich from San Diego is someone I really liked. I wrote him up. I saw him a handful of times last summer and came away impressed, but he had a really impressive season this year. I think he had over 320. He hit 364 actually, with 14 doubles, 14 homers, and 49 RBIs. He has kind of a unique setup in the box. It's pretty deep in his base with a high handset. He hasn't really made any drastic operation or swing adjustments throughout his time at USD, but the front side's a little more closed off. It's a really under control and easy operation. Their present contact skills, especially against heaters, and he can drive the baseball to all parts of the field and in either gap. He's got above average power, perhaps even plus raw, especially the pull side. But he also stands out on the data side and the under the hood numbers. He's got a 90th percentile exit velocity over 110. He's posted multiple batted balls over 115. He's consistently on the barrel. He jumps on pitches kind of in his go zone or nitro zone. You know, there's really optimal data here on top of performance. It's a little bit of a tough profile because he's a first baseman, but you know, you want your first baseman, or you want to feel confident in your first baseman being able to hit at a high level and hit for power at a high level. And I've become increasingly more, I guess, optimistic, excited, confident, I guess all of the above with Gurevich being able to do that. It's a real impressive track record of performance. And I think he's going to go in a good spot, maybe like third or fourth round. Wouldn't totally shock me if someone jumped on him in like the back of the second, but I think he fits in the third or fourth.
Nice. Well, one of the guys that I found myself really liking in this update process was Ethan Grimm, who is a high school right-handed pitcher out of Pennsylvania, committed to Virginia Tech. We have him right in the 120 range, so around fourth round, fifth round on talent. I feel like he's just one of the better pitchability arms in the class. I don't know that there's a single pitch that you can point to and say, hey, this is a plus offering right now, but given how everything plays, I certainly think he could just be a pitcher who always maximizes his pure stuff. I remember watching him at East Coast Pro a year ago, and he was just dominating hitters with like a fastball that was topping out around 93, maybe 94 between East Coast Pro and area code games. He faced 19 batters, struck out 11 and walked none, gave up just one hit. He's one of the few high school pitchers that we have a 60 control grade on, which maybe feels aggressive, but I do think that it is realistic for a pitcher like him. Looking at the strides he's made with his delivery this spring is also encouraging to me. Last summer, he had a pretty aggressive stabbing action in the back of his arm stroke, which to his credit didn't really seem to inhibit his control or command or consistency with his release point at all. But the delivery, at least in my opinion, looks a lot cleaner and easier this spring. And then we've got some more pitch data on him. And unsurprisingly, the fastball seems to be a really high riding pitch, which maybe explains how it's able to play so well at the top of the zone. But it's a four-pitch mix. He throws a fastball, slider, curveball, changeup, and ties it all together with 60 control. So I'm not sure exactly where he's going to fit in the draft. It wouldn't be surprising to me if someone took a shot on him. He's also reasonably young for the class, but this does seem like a sort of profile that gets to school at times. And if he gets to Virginia Tech, he just screams starter to me. Feels like a guy who would immediately jump into that pitching staff and would have a chance to really blow up his draft stock in a few years. So I'm all in on Ethan Grimm. As we finalize the reports, I found myself liking him even more. So he's one of the guys that I'll point to here.
That's a good pull. A little bit like Grimm, the next guy I'll go with, and admittedly, I'm already going off the prompt because I didn't actually write him up.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be guys he wrote.
But Josh Owens, left-handed hitting shortstop out of Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, is a prep guy. He feels like someone that has had a consistent up arrow next to his name all spring. Yeah. And admittedly, you had tipped me off to him a little while ago, and I dug in further, and I really, really like him. But similar to Grimm, he might not have like a plus tool right now. You could argue maybe plus run, and perhaps plus raw, though I think right now it's more above average than it is plus. But 6'3", 185 pounds, left-handed hitter, great body, really, really good athlete. He's a multi-sport kid, or I guess was a multi-sport kid in high school. He also played football at Providence Academy, I believe is where he went to school. But he's got a ton of room to fill out and put on some good strength and physicality. But it's a real solid blend of average tools, at least average, across the board. You know, there's not a super lengthy track record of hitting, but, you know, there's solid bat to ball skills, and it's a pretty clean and fluid left-handed swing, at least I thought. Can get a little lengthy and long at times, but, you know, I think he'll grow into plus power. Backspins the baseball. You had mentioned he showed well at the combine. I think I read from you that he posted a max EV of 108 or something like that at the combine. But I think that he's going to move off of shortstop, just kind of looking at the actions a little bit, but he's got a ton of arm strength on the left side that would play well over third. The speed and athleticism would also translate to center field. I think there's just a whole fun blend here of, you know, there are some now tools, athleticism, projectability, body. You know, there are a handful of positive boxes that he checks.
Yeah, I like that one. That's good. I feel like he has a good chance to go in a pretty decent spot on draft day as well. It sounds like there are a handful of teams that are pretty enamored with the projection, the upside that he offers. Okay, I'm going to stick in your neck of the woods, Peter. I'm going to stick in the Northeast. I'm going to go with New Jersey high school left-handed pitcher Frank Chiron. he just sounds fascinating to me. I mean, 6'2", 6'3", 215-pound frame. A guy that a year ago was pitching more in like the mid upper 80s with his fastball, and then came out this spring just showing much better velocity. He's now throwing low 90s. He gets the pitch up to 94 miles per hour, and he also has really special fastball extension, like well above average. So maybe that pitch is going to play up from a lower release height and a really big extension, even without getting to above average velocity. I'm pretty excited about that pitch. He also has a breaking ball, a big sweeper in the upper 70s, low 80s, gets up to 3,000 RPMs. That looks like it could easily be a plus offering moving forward. He's tinkered with a new cutter variant this spring. He's mixed in an occasional changeup. I mean, it sounds like it's mostly fastball slider at the moment, but given his sort of release traits, his ability to get down the mound, his ability to spin the ball, feels like you're looking at least two above average pitches. He worked from the stretch only. There's a bit of effort in the delivery, so some reliever risk here, but he's also one of the youngest players in the class. I believe he's the third youngest player on the BA 500. He'll still be 17 on draft day, committed to Coastal Carolina. So, I mean, I think he fits on talent in the like 2-5 round range or so. And I would love to see a team take a shot on him and develop him in a starter role in pro ball, because I think he just has really unique sort of release traits and just a feel to spin the baseball that's super exciting. So Chiron is a guy who was definitely an up arrow player this spring, and like bearing down on him a little bit more deeply down the stretch here, I find myself really fascinated with him.
So I'm probably going to surprise you and also any consistent listener and stick on the prep side.
Let's go.
With who I'm going to say next. And again, I'm sticking on the prep side, and I'm also going outside the top 100, though not by a whole lot, but Michael Oliveto.
I debated picking him. That's a great one. I like it.
Catcher out of New York, state of, you know, I caught him, and everyone, this was kind of his coming out party, but
Some of us didn't go because of a hurricane that came through.
Well, luckily I was able to call an audible, and the powers that be at BA were kind enough to still send me down there. But I caught him in Jupiter at Worldwood Bat. He was excellent. I think he put up a video game type of stint. He went 8-for-13 with a couple homers, 2 triples and a double, just hammered the baseball, was consistently on the barrel. I really like him for the offensive profile. You know, it's a calm and relaxed setup in the box. It's a very rhythmic swing. And he's got a sound approach to go with it. It's really loose and easy. And there's present strength and physicality that translates to pretty easy power, especially to the pull side. And he's going to continue to fill out. And as he gets kind of closer to his physical peak, it's not so difficult to say that he's going to have 55 power to all fields, let alone just the pull side. I'm interested to see how the hit tool translates to the next level, but it's a dangerous game to isolate one tournament or one short stint and kind of, I guess, put your stamp on that as to why you're confident with like something like his hit tool translating, because, you know, he's not seeing unbelievable arms, you know, just as a prepster in New York State. But, you know, seeing how he handled himself and how he hit the ball down in Jupiter, I do feel confident that he's going to continue to hit and continue to hit at a high level. I got yipped up there as he progresses into pro ball. I think, though, like any prep catcher, like most prep catchers, I'm curious to see how the defense progresses. The arm is fine. I'd say it's average, if not maybe a tick above. But, you know, the receiving and general defensive skills could use a coat or two of polish. But I really love the offensive profile. I really like his body. 6'3", 185 pounds. Probably continue to fill out a little further to get to his physical peak. But I'm a real believer in the hit power combo with Oliveto. I think he's going to go in a really, really good spot.
Cool. All right. Those are a handful of guys that we kind of shifted our opinions on, a little bit more optimistic. We could go into more, but a few topics we want to get to on today's show as well. Peter, one thing that we're noticing is just players are moving rapidly to the big leagues out of the draft. So another topic here is, if you had to make a pick for who reaches the majors first in this year's class, who would be your player? I've got I have like three players listed here, plus a dark horse. I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of overlap in our favorites here, but do you have like one clear and obvious name or no?
I think,
I'm assuming it's Cade Anderson, but.
So yes, but I also have, just based on this kind of dope we're getting and just the trend, I have a more clear and obvious one that you've probably have down as well, but it's Liam Doyle.
Yeah.
Tennessee left-hander. That is me sort of banking on him being selected at two by Los Angeles.
Right.
And I think whoever is selected at number two overall, both you, I, and perhaps a lot of others would feel pretty safe in them getting fast tracked. So
yeah,
it's also a profile that, you know, especially if he's selected by Los Angeles, that they would get pretty aggressive with. It's a 70 grade heater.
Would you,
in the class, so.
Would you choose Liam Doyle in a vacuum, team agnostic? If you're just saying which of the players in the class is most big league ready, who would you pick?
Oh, big league ready, Cade Anderson.
Yeah, I think so. For me, I had this list of players down. I actually didn't list Doyle, but I think it makes all the sense in the world. But I think Cade Anderson, Jamie Arnold, Tyler Bremner are all players that you could easily, rapidly push. Like we're talking about, a lot of it is going to just depend on like which team is taking them, how aggressive those teams are either willing or need to get, given maybe competitive timelines. But we've even seen players push quickly on teams that I don't necessarily think are like in a competitive window. So I think all these pitchers we're talking about here have the sort of polish to move really quickly and do well. I have one dark horse here that's not a pitcher, because all the college pitchers in the top are fairly boring and maybe obvious candidates, and that's Andrew Fisher at Tennessee. I feel like, I mean, while we get a lot of Michael Busch comps, and Michael Busch is maybe famous for being like, he took so long to get through the minors because he was kind of stuck in a logjam with the Dodgers, I do think that Fisher has one of the most well-rounded offensive skill sets in this college class. He's playing a position that I don't think is going to require a lot of like defensive reps to like improve his ability. Maybe just like more time at first. I don't know if teams are going to explore the third base experiment with him. I would probably just put him at first and let him bang. But I do think Fisher, like if he sneaks into the middle of the first round, or and even if not, I mean, I just think he's a bat that is proven in power conferences. I think he has the approach, the contact skills, the power, the physicality to move very quickly. I'm not saying he's like a Nick Kurtz, Jack Caglione type of player, but it wouldn't shock me if he moved on a similar timeline.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure. Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's VANTA.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
It's an interesting call from you, especially on the dark horse side. But I think in reshaping the question to big league ready, which I find a little bit more useful, we would have the same players like Cade Anderson, Jamie, Tyler Bremner. Those three arms stick out to me. I think you could also throw Kyson Witherspoon in that bucket, though we'd probably rank fourth in that category in terms of big league readiness for me. And then in thinking of a dark horse, man, I should have come more prepared. This isn't saying that he'll reach the big leagues first. And, you know, even if he's not nearly a big league ready hitter yet, but I'm still a believer in Brandon Compton. From what I saw last summer, I think that this spring was a complete anomaly and less so a trend and an indicator of who he actually is as a hitter. I think it's way closer to what he was on the Cape. Now, that's not to say he's going to hit 320, 330 for his career.
Cape bias.
I know. People are going to roll their – people probably roll their eyes or have like a Cape counter going when I'm like, I saw this guy, I saw that guy. But I did catch him really good. It's legit 70 raw power, and I feel confident that he's going to get into it on a game-to-game basis. He showed it. When I saw him, he showed it at ASU in 24. The hit tool isn't glowing by any stretch, but I think that it's, you know, a 50 and a comfortable 50 at that, which it sounds crazy to say, but that might be a little aggressive. I believe in the impact. I believe he's going to hit enough. And I think he's going to do it at a high level.
Yeah. No, that's a fun one too. Okay, let's move into some favorite tools in the class, Peter. It not necessarily the best tools in the class, but tools that you find yourself really excited about, pitches you like to watch, players that you like to watch for specific reasons. I've got three tools down here. One of them is a player that I've already talked about today, and mine are also not just your... Two of them are, but I have one that's like not a typical traditional like hitter tool or pitcher tool. It's more of like a skill set or like a physical trait of a player. But do you have any favorite tools in the class that immediately jump out to you? And if not, I can go first.
Yeah, I'll start on the pitch side. There are a couple of fastballs. There are a few fastballs I really like. Liam Doyle is the obvious one. I think, but both Gage Wood and AJ Russell also have 70 grade heaters for my money's worth, and not to bucket them into one. I guess I'll talk about Russell because Gage Wood has rightfully so gotten his fair share of buzz over the last handful of weeks. But with Russell, he has an outlier release height of just 5'1". He has a relatively flat vertical approach angle of 4.15, and it gets flatter on pitches further up in the zone. And when talking about vertical approach angle, when you say this pitcher has a flat vertical approach angle, you know, that's what helps create that ski ball or like rise ball, invisiball, whatever you want to call it, effect on pitches in the top half of the strike zone. And so when you combine those traits with Russell's fastball, it sits in the mid-90s. It's been up to 98. You know, the results are tantalizing. He's a 6'6", 223-pound kid with a big league frame. The heater has tons of life through the zone. And circling back to that initial point, he consistently locates it and gets it above the barrel of opposing hitters. He throws his fat. He's very heater aligned. He throws it over two-thirds of the time. But his mid to upper 80s sliders flashed, and then the mid 80s changeup that he's got looks the part of a potentially viable third offering. So there's work to be done on the secondary side, but you've got a big league body with a 70 grade heater. All of the makeup reports seem to be really positive with Russell. So, I think that he will also go in a good spot.
Yep, great choices there. I will also start with a single pitch type. this won't be surprising to many who know my tendencies, but I'm going to go with the changeup. I'm a sucker for really good changeups, typically left-handed pitching changeups, but I do think in this year's class, our best changeups come out of the hand of right-handers. And I'm going to go with Seth Hernandez's changeup. If I had to choose a single individual pitch that I was most excited about in the class, his would be very much on the short list. I would be deciding between his changeup and maybe Jack Bauer's fastball, just because it's so crazy. I think some of the college fastballs are more maybe effective right now, but a kid throwing 102 from the left side in high school is insane. But Seth Hernandez's changeup, I think, is one of the better amateur changeups I've ever seen. I think certainly it's in a like tier of two changeups, not a tier of two, but there's only one other high school changeup I think is as good as Seth Hernandez's right now, or at the same time, I should say, and that's Dylan Lesko's. And I think Seth Hernandez has a really compelling case to either match or this feels crazy because I really loved Dylan Lesko's changeup, but it could be better. And if you fold in college players as well, I still think it's like Seth Hernandez and Dylan Lesko for me. I pulled up all of the synergy data that we have on Seth Hernandez, and it's almost 1,000 total pitches from 2022 to now. And he has like a 60% miss rate on the changeup in high school. Like, I know it's against high school competition, and there's undoubtedly a lot of non-competitive at-bats against hitters who are going to be hanging up the cleats after they graduate high school. But it still has all of the traits that you want to see for an elite bat missing changeup: the velocity separation, the pitch movement, the arm speed, his touch and feel of the offering, which is maybe as important for a changeup as anything. Like his ability to just choke the ball out, to manipulate his thumb placement on the pitch to locate it or to add a little bit more movement and use it for chases out of the zone, I think is just really, really special. So I'm going to go with Seth Hernandez's changeup as maybe my single individual favorite tool.
I like
it. I'll swing it back to you.
I guess in a similar breath, because this is where I was going to go next, so it's funny. Tyler Bremer's changeup
is
also a double plus pitch. I'll keep it brief because you give such a great summary on Seth's, but mid-80s pitch, he's really comfortable using it against both righties and lefties. The feel for it is really advanced. It's a wipeout pitch, and it just flashes really late, tumbling life, kind of that falling off the table action with some fade to the arm side. He throws it with conviction, maintains his arm speed. It's what it looks like, you know. So that's a double plus pitch, 48% whiff rate this spring. Pairs it really well with his heater and then his slider, which is also a plus offering. So I'll keep it brief with Bremner, but he's also got a great combo. And then Billy Carlson's defense, I think that's kind of an obvious one, perhaps the best glove in the class, regardless of level. You want to talk about what it looks like. I mean, it's, you know, super clean hands, really good quick feet, 70 arm perhaps across the diamond. He's got a ton of range in either direction. He's comfortable attacking the baseball, throwing from multiple arm angles. The instincts are outstanding. I mean, he has the look of a big league shortstop. I mean, I think he could defend in the big leagues right now and hold his own. I don't think that's all that crazy to say. It's just really, really impressive. It's just the actions are just outstanding, and you couple that with the arm and the instincts and the range, it's the whole package. So
right,
those are good ones. The obvious choice, but I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about it.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it, because I'm looking at my list now, and I basically have stuck to high school pitching prospects for this category, which maybe says something about me, maybe says something about this class, I don't know. But the second one I had here, and I don't need to go too long about it because I've already talked about it a little bit, but Ethan Grimm's pitch ability in particular. So think maybe separate from control and command, but like his ability to mix and match with his pitches specifically, like his demeanor on the mound, how he attacks, how he's able to locate his pitches. The more I watch him, the more I'm just a fan. Like when I saw him in person, I was immediately a fan. The more I've bared down on him this spring over video, just his ability to mix and match with his pitches, locate everything, feel for the secondaries, I think is really impressive. And I think it's going to make him just a really complete pitcher in the future. I mean, I think he already is a pretty complete pitcher. And then my other tool I had here, was Landon Harmon's arm speed. So we do have him with one of the best fastballs in the class, but what stands out to me more than like even the quality of the fastball itself right now is just the his ability to generate like arm speed with ease is it's one of the like fastest and easiest arms I've seen. Again, I think I mentioned this before on the podcast, but when I saw him initially at East Coast Pro, the way he was warming up on the mound, it looked like he was just having a very casual like game of catch when he was warming up. And the effort almost takes away from how quick his arm is actually coming through, because I feel like with a lot of pitchers who have a ton of arm speed, there's also a little bit of effort. Like CJ Gray is another one who has a ton of arm speed in this class on the high school side, and I think his has a little bit more effort, but Landon Harmon just does it so easily, and the velocity that comes out of his hand is almost shocking because of the ease with which he like delivers his arm. So that specifically is a tool that I just think it's cool to watch him pitch because of how quick and easy it is. So I'll go with Landon Harmon's arm. My three are his arm, Ethan Grimm's pitchability, Seth Hernandez's changeup.
Yeah, that's a good one. I had a couple of questions yesterday in the draft chat about Harmon, and I'm with you. I mean, the upside with him is immense and the arm speed's tremendous. I do think his fastball is eventually going to get to that ceiling of being a double plus pitch.
Yeah. There's some things that I'm like a little concerned about, like just quality and consistency of the secondaries at this point, the consistency of the command. I definitely think there's some things he needs to clean up, but I have to think that he's going to be able to get to a real hammer breaking ball with that sort of arm talent, the power he's able to throw with. So I would be really excited if I was a team to get him into pro development. We've had a lot of questions about like if he's going to get to campus at Mississippi State. I don't know if you have a strong feeling either way. For me, like I think someone's going to take a shot on him, but he's also in that bucket where like there are a lot of high school pitchers and only a certain amount are going to actually get signed. And once we get to a range where like the 3+ round range, high school players start to price themselves out of the draft. So I'll be really curious to see who is the team that takes a shot, because I think someone should.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, the upside is tantalizing. I mean, he's 6'5", 190. There's a ton of room for him to fill out. People love to use the phrase, you know, moldable ball of clay. I think he fits that description to a T. Mm-hmm. You've got a fastball with double plus upside that's already a plus pitch. You know, I think if at least a plus pitch currently. And then you mentioned the arm speed and the breaking ball. And I think just the general ceiling with Harmon is outstanding. But the last tool I'll go with is Caden Bodine's hit tool. It's not as sexy or as flashy as some of the other tools and pitches we've talked about, but from this chair, I think he's the best pure hitter in this year's college class, at least towards guys that rank in a somewhat prominent spot. It's the only guy that I felt really comfortable sticking a 60 on their hit tool. He's hit at every stop outside of a, like, not so impressive like 5-game stint on the Cape last year. From a statistical standpoint, he's raked everywhere. You know, the hit ability is outstanding. He's consistently on the barrel. The power is below average, but I really do think that he's going to hit at a high level throughout his playing career at each stop professionally. The contact skills are double plus. It's a really easy, repeatable swing from both sides. The swing decisions are sound and it's an advanced approach. And the bat to ball skills are just outstanding. I think this year he ran a 96% overall in zone contact rate and 98% against fastballs.
Yeah. You know,
it's really, really impressive. He adjusts well, he gets the barrel to all four quadrants of the zone. He can hit any pitch. He keeps his head it's a very appealing swing and operation for me. And then you add that to the fact that he's an above average defender behind the plate. I've been beating the drum for a while, but I think he's a no brainer first round pick for me. So I'm excited to see where he goes.
Yeah. And I guess for my final tool here, I didn't have this one written down, but since you mentioned Bodine, I just feel like I should mention Cason Cunningham, because I think of our final grades here, we've got only two hitters with plus hit tools, which is much different from last year's class. Cason Cunningham has a 60 hit for us in our sort of final tools breakdown. I think that he's clearly the best pure hitter in the high school class. And if I had to pick between Cunningham and Bodine, I would probably go with Cunningham personally in terms of pure hitting ability. I'm not sure if you're in agreement with me or if you'd stick with Bodine's just elite bat to ball skills at the college level, maybe proven against some more better pitching. But Cunningham, I'm a little concerned that he's going to slide on draft day. It sounds like he's got a chance to slide into the 20s, and I just don't think he should, given the quality of his pure hitting ability and just the lack of other hit tools that I'm confident in that are going to go in front of him. Now, granted, like a lot of other players maybe have more chances to be impact defenders at shortstop, or they come with a lot more power, but I just really do bucket Cason Cunningham in this like Kevin McGonigal, Cole Young, Colt Emerson sort of high school hitter that I'm just really confident in his ability to hit. He has the bat speed. He's got great barrel manipulation. He can get to all sorts of areas of the zone. He's always on the barrel. His timing is solid. It's a pretty low maintenance swing. I just think he's going to be a really, really impressive hitter. And if he does slide into the 20s or God forbid further than that, I mean, kudos to any team who's able to get him that far down, because I think the track record of the draft is pretty solid for players with reputations as the best pure high school hitter in the class. And if it was me, I would want to take him inside the first 15 picks, but I guess we'll see what happens. But if he does slide and winds up being good, I'll be glad to have mentioned his hitting ability here.
I'm with you. If he slides into the 20s, I mean, I'd be doing backflips if I were a team picking in that range, because I'd take him inside the top 15 picks. I'm with you. And for all the reasons that you said, but I love the hit tool. I'm a believer in it. I'm a believer that he's going to hit at a high level as he progresses through professional baseball. It's just really, really impressive. Consistently on the barrel, hardly ever swings and misses. It's a quick, efficient, adjustable swing with really impressive bat speed. I like the little Kevin McGonigal shout. You know, he can Cason can really, really swing it. So
it's weird because I'll have conversations with scouts and they're like, yeah, we think Cason might slide kind of like Kevin McGonigal did. And I'm like, well, do you think that McGonigal should have slid, like, in hindsight? Like, I think every team would have wanted to grab him in the first round, knowing what he's done in pro ball right now. So that one is always a bit odd to me, but I guess we'll see. Maybe he'll go like right in the 10 spot on draft day and all this will be for naught. So cool. Exactly. Well, that's all I had, Peter. Anything else you want to mention or chat about before we get out of here?
No, that was all I had for, I think we could bounce favorite tools and exciting tools and pitches off each other for a few hours, but that was a fun podcast. I think we hit on a handful of intriguing topics, and you know, as the draft approaches and even after the draft, as always, there will be no shortage of content over at baseballamerica.com. So,
yeah, and I think we might have like one more draft podcast before the draft itself. So if you guys have any questions or comments or thoughts or anything you guys want us to address on our final draft pod, I think we're going to do like a combined future projection. Me, Peter, Ben, JJ, hop on and do like a really big draft preview before draft day. If you guys have anything you want us to address, again, if you're a fan of a certain team and have any specific thoughts on the team or questions, anything like that, be sure to send that our way and we'll try and address it if we can. But yeah, like Peter was saying, we had a ton of content on the site for the draft in the final stages now. It's very close, 10 days away, I guess 9 days away as you guys are listening to this. So yeah, can't wait to get rolling.
Likewise, I couldn't have said it any better myself. I'm excited for the mega pod we do. It's one of my favorites that we record every year, because we really get in the weeds. We go for a while. We talk about a lot of guys, a lot of teams. So I'm already looking forward to it.
Yeah. Can't wait. All right. For Peter, I'm Carlos. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you next time.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's VANTA.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.